If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need was pleasure, then God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior. Our greatest need. And this is what Christmas is all about. If you have your Bibles, just for a moment, I want you to look with me in Matthew chapter 1. And I'm just going to read one verse of Scripture, verse 21. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. The Bible says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." I want you to say that with me, please. Let's read it together. "And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And I'm here to declare to you that this is our greatest need. Because every person is a sinner in need of a Savior. And the greatest need all of us have in this room, the greatest need that Grenada, Mississippi has, the greatest need of this world is forgiveness. And aren't you thankful for Jesus? Because Jesus has come to save us from our sins and forgive us from all of our unrighteousness. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We had the privilege a few nights ago to travel to Parchment, Mississippi with over 200 care packages. And we had a great service, an awesome service, had about 200 or so men in attendance. And after we shared the gospel with them, we gave an altar invitation. And I'm here just to testify to the goodness of God today. We had well over 50 of those men that gave their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. And I just want to say, to God be the glory. And I want to thank you as a church family for loving people, by giving what you did and donating your prayer and your time and your giving and other things that we are doing benevolence-wise. We were going to be going to the nursing home here Saturday, I believe, to present some gifts to the nursing home residents, both nursing homes. Over 200 care packages we'll be doing there. And if you'd like to know more about that, you can see Miss Angie Hale, and she will give you the details on that if you'd like to go with us. But I'm thankful for the benevolence that this church does and the things that we're doing and the gifts that we provide others and all the ministry that's going forth from this church. But here's what I want us to see. If all the things we do, ministry that we do and benevolence and care and giving, if we do not in that process present the gospel of Jesus Christ, and through our giving, what we are doing is we are presenting Jesus to them, that he is their hope and he is their salvation and he is the only way, then merely all that we're doing is presenting a social gospel that is powerless to save. But understand this, we do what we do. We were in the food pantry yesterday, been in the soup kitchen this week, and we do a lot of benevolence ministry. But the reason behind all that and the sole purpose of us doing that is to present the gospel, the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if all we are doing is feeding the hungry, or clothing the naked, or giving to the poor, if we're not presenting Jesus to them, all we're simply doing is making the world a better place to go to hell from. Amen? But the purpose behind it all is to point people to Jesus Christ and let them know that we are all sinners in need of a Savior, and the greatest need of all of us is to accept Jesus Christ as our only and the only way to heaven and the only Savior. Because how many believe that only Jesus can save? And a social gospel with all of its psychological techniques is powerless to save. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can change the heart of man. And I've come today to celebrate the fact that the Son has been born, He has been given, and His sole purpose in coming is to save you and I from our sins. Have we forgotten our number one goal is to go to heaven and take as many people that we can with us? Amen. Years ago, Billy Graham was preaching a crusade in a particular city, and he was looking for the post office to mail a letter. And he asked the little boy there downtown, he said, "Son, can you tell me how to get to the post office?" And the little boy told him how to get there. And after he told him, Billy Graham said, "Now, son, I'm preaching tonight, this crusade, I'd like for you to come. I'm going to tell people how to get to heaven." The little boy said, "Well, I don't think I'll be there." Billy Graham said, "How come?" Little boy said, "Because you don't even know how to get to the post office." Billy Graham has got more people to heaven and pointed more people to heaven probably any person alive. Amen. But I want to remind us this morning of our number one mission and primary goal in the business of this season, in this time of giving and receiving. It is proclaiming the simple truth that God has sent His Son to save His people from their sins. And I'm going to do my best to lift up the blood-stained cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and let this world know that there's still a King that redeems, there's still a cross that bleeds, there's still a Savior that saves, and His name is Jesus. And whoever will call on the name of the Lord can be saved. Are you thankful for Jesus and their salvation in His name? And this is our primary purpose. A lot of churches today, they're not really preaching the gospel. They're just telling people how to live a better life and how to better be a better person and how to be good. And we went from the saving gospel to the social gospel. But I'm here to proclaim the saving gospel, the gospel that can save. And you know what? If you really get this saving gospel, it'll help you live a better life and be a better person. But here's what you got to realize, too. You can't get the cart before the horse. And I'm afraid we're guilty of that. We're trying to just teach people how to be a better moral person and do better and do good. But you know what? Being a good moral person, it may keep you out of jail, but it still takes the blood of Jesus to keep you out of hell. Amen? Aren't you thankful for the blood? And the Hebrew writer said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. The cradle enabled Jesus to come to the world, and now the cross enables the world to come to Jesus. And as we conclude this service today, reminding us of our greatest need, the greatest need we have is forgiveness. The greatest need we have in our world today is the need for a Savior who can forgive us and save us of our sins. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life." I want you to stand with me if you would, please. You may be here and you've not accepted Christ as your Savior. We've been singing about the baby of Bethlehem and the coming of the Christ child. And this is my favorite time of the year, my favorite season of all is what we're doing now. But you hear what I'm telling you this morning. You'll never truly understand the baby of Bethlehem until, first of all, you accept the Christ of Calvary. You'll never really understand about this baby born in Bethlehem until, first of all, you accept the Christ of Calvary. My number one goal, my number one mission is to make sure you make it to heaven, that you know Jesus as your Savior, that you experience the Christ of Calvary, to point you to Christ and His cross, where there He bled and died, that your sins could be forgiven, that you could be saved. The Bible says, Luke 10 and 19, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was His primary mission. Paul said in Romans 10 and 1, my prayer for Israel, my heart's burden is that they would be saved. This is what it's all about, amen? This is what it's all about. You say, Pastor, I want to know Christ as my Savior. I've never accepted Him as my Lord. How do I do that? First of all, you got to admit you're a sinner. Secondly, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then confess Him as Lord. A, B, C. Everybody say A, B, C. A, admit you're a sinner. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And C, confess Him as Lord. And what I want to do as we conclude this special service is to lead you in the sinner's prayer this morning. Would you bow your heads with me? There may be somebody here that is, you need to give your heart to Christ. Would you pray this prayer with me? Can we call on the name of the Lord together? Maybe you at one time had a relationship with the Lord, but you've drifted from where you were. Jesus has come to save you. That's the whole purpose of His coming, to save His people from their sins. And right now we're going to call on His name, the only name by which we can be saved, according to Acts 4 and 12, the name of Jesus. His name means salvation. I want to ask everybody that would to pray this prayer with me right now. Let us pray together. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to You now in the name of Your Son, Jesus. I repent of my sins. I'm sorry for the way I've lived and the things I've done. Lord, I repent. Please forgive me. And Lord, I believe in my heart that You died for my sins. You shed Your blood. You gave Your life on a cross for me. And on the third day, You rose to live again. With my mouth, I declare that Jesus, You are Lord. You are my Savior. I give my life to You. I'm Yours completely from this day forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Can we just give the Lord praise for the greatest gift of all, the gift of salvation, forgiveness. If you prayed this prayer this morning with sincerity, I want you to see me after the service. My wife and I, we're going to make a beeline to the back door. I'd like to shake as many of your hands and hug as many of your necks as we can before you leave. We hope we'll see you again before Christmas. We have a Christmas movie tonight at 5. We'll be watching it if you'd like to come and join us for that. A regular scheduled service Wednesday, then Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m., our candlelight and communion. Beautiful service we have planned. On behalf of Sherry and I and my family, we just want you to know we love you. We bless you. We thank God for you. And we pray you have a very merry Christmas and a happy new year. Amen. Can we give Jesus one more hand of praise today? To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask Brother Josh if he'd come and just close us in a word of prayer. God bless you. We love you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank You, God, for this opportunity, Lord, for You are the reason for the season, Lord. We bless Your name. God, we give You the most high praise, Lord. You are deserving. Father, we're unworthy to come to You, Father, but You accept us anyway. Lord, I pray over each and every individual under the sound of my voice this morning. I pray that You would bless them, Lord. Shine Your face upon them. God, we bless You, Jesus, and we thank You for this opportunity for You. In Your name we pray. Amen.